All right, I've been sitting with the news out of the Persian Gulf all week, and I think we need to just lay it out plainly, because what's happening right now in September 2026 is not background noise anymore.
No, it really isn't. The Associated Press has confirmed direct fire exchanges between US Navy forces and Iranian-backed forces in the Persian Gulf. An American warship was attacked, commercial tankers were hit. This is kinetic conflict, not just diplomatic tension.
And it didn't stop at sea. Reports out of Jordan confirm that US military personnel came under direct attack there too. So we're talking about two theaters simultaneously.
Right, and that's what forced a reassessment of the entire American defensive posture in the Levant. When your people are being shot at in Jordan and your ships are being targeted in the Gulf, the question of should we be involved becomes somewhat academic. The involvement is already happening.
Mm-hmm. So for someone just tuning in, our listener who maybe follows the headlines but hasn't connected all the dots, what's the through line here?
The through line is Iran's strategy of using proxy forces across the region, in Gaza through Hamas, in Lebanon through Hezbollah, in Yemen, in Iraq, and now directly targeting American assets. The key idea is that these aren't isolated incidents. They're part of a coordinated pressure campaign.
And the US responded on September 8th with new sanctions, specifically targeting Iran's commercial aviation sector. What's the strategic logic there?
Iran's aviation infrastructure isn't just moving passengers. The Treasury Department's sanctions are designed to disrupt the transport of military hardware to those proxy groups, cut the supply chain, and you degrade the capability. It's economic warfare running parallel to the kinetic conflict.
So not boots on the ground in Tehran, but pressure on the arteries.
Exactly, and that distinction matters enormously for the conservative framework we're using in this course. There's a real debate between interventionists who say force is necessary to deter Iran and restraint conservatives who worry about mission creep and the cost of another open-ended conflict.
Wait, but that assumes those two camps are cleanly separate. Aren't there conservatives who support the sanctions and the naval response but draw the line at ground invasion?
Yes, and that's actually where most of the serious policy debate lives right now. The Strait of Hormuz is the pressure point. Roughly a fifth of global oil supply moves through it. Conservatives who care about energy markets and allied economies see protecting that corridor as a core national interest, not an ideological crusade.
So the national interest argument isn't just about Israel. It's about global economic stability.
For proponents of involvement, yes. And then you layer in the Gaza dimension, which is its own separate but connected crisis. International mediators report the ceasefire there is stalled over two things: Hamas disarmament and the timeline for Israeli troop withdrawals from the Philadelphia corridor.
That corridor keeps coming up. For our listener who hasn't followed this closely, why does that specific strip of land matter so much?
The Philadelphia corridor is the narrow border zone between Gaza and Egypt. Israel argues it's the primary smuggling route for weapons into Gaza. Hamas and some Palestinian negotiators argue Israeli presence there is a form of continued occupation. So it's not just geography, it's the symbolic and strategic heart of the withdrawal dispute.
And this is where the moral clarity question gets hard. Because the people caught between those two positions aren't Hamas commanders. They're Palestinian civilians.
That's the distinction this course is going to insist on throughout. Hamas is a militant organization with a documented record of attacks on civilians. Palestinian civilians in Gaza are a separate category. People living under extraordinary conditions with limited agency over what Hamas does in their name. Collapsing those two groups is both morally wrong and strategically counterproductive.
Same logic applies to Iran, right? The regime in Tehran is not the same as Iranian civilians.
Precisely. And that's not a soft liberal caveat. It's a strategic necessity. If the goal is to change Iranian behavior, alienating the Iranian population makes that harder, not easier. The sanctions on aviation target the regime's military logistics, not ordinary Iranians booking flights.
So the takeaway for this opening lecture is really about framing. We're not asking whether war is exciting or inevitable. We're asking whether it's justified, by what criteria, and at what cost.
That's the question this course is built around. And in our next session, we move from this geopolitical map to the moral battlefield, specifically how we distinguish Hamas from the millions of Palestinian civilians caught in the crossfire, and why that distinction has to shape every strategic decision that follows.